I just want to address very quickly from the beginning the question whether Scandinavia is a special case or not. As I understand that Christoph, who is my colleague who's going to comment afterwards, I think he's raising this issue, which is very adequate. So I will jump to conclusions and say yes and no.
Okay.
And the two things involved here is Scandinavia a special case in comparison to other cases that we have discussed here? And the other question is actually the Nordics or the Scandinavian region, is it one thing? I will object to the last question, and I will show you while I'm talking that this is not at least anymore the case. The Nordic model started out as one, more or less one single entity in the early 1970s. But they have grown more different over the years, and particularly after the 1990s. The gap between intentions and output and the liberal paradox that we are discussing in this book context is taking form according to institutional structure and configuration in the various national contexts that we're discussing. And I will, in my chapter, I will discuss how this is concretely spelled out in the context of the Nordic welfare model. And I describe and analyze the contradictory impact of immigration, both institutionally and politically, on the three advanced welfare states in Europe's northern periphery. Similarities and differences within the region is discussed through a historical review since the period starting in the early 1970s. And I use public documents and historical analysis as the empirical basis for the chapter. And I use three areas, policy areas, immigration, integration, and naturalization as a framing of the analysis. I start out with a historical examination showing how the welfare model provided central preconditions for what kind of policy it was possible and desirable to establish both politically and institutionally for the social democratic regimes that were in place at that time. It's important here that the welfare model was fully established institutionally by and large at the same time as the immigration from countries outside of the OECD started. And during the formative years, the early 1970s, a social democratic regime was in place in all three countries with two partly conflicting goals. The legitimacy basis of the Scandinavian social democracies was both humanitarian ideals and the overriding concern as to the sustainability of the newly accomplished welfare model. And particularly Sweden aimed at being a world champion on both. From the very beginning, this Nordic take on this juxtaposition has been labeled bounded universalism. Institutionally, the Nordic welfare model has been characterized ideotypically by it is comprehensive in relation to the type of social needs it seeks to satisfy. Institutionalized through social rights, which give all citizens the right to a decent standard of living, and as universal, which means covering all in the same way. And important here is the groups of persons that come under the various programs. In Scandinavia, the whole population are included under the same programs. And this also means immigrants with legal residence from day one. And we're now still in the 70s. The welfare state's economic transfers to weak groups and the principle of equal treatment have had two key implications for immigration. First, it has been important to control or to regulate immigration. The generous welfare state, which redistributes income to include all inhabitants necessitates delimitation in relation to potential new members from other countries. And second, it has been important to integrate new arrivals, particularly into working life, but also into a greater society. If the fundamental social structure is to be maintained, new inhabitants must be made part of it. And this, of course, is of particular interest to the strong and institutionally important labor unions. If one does not succeed in integration on equal terms, one risks undercutting wages and the undermining of social protection and an orderly labor market. And also the tripartite negotiation system makes both sides of working life attached to this overarching system, which is also a very important institutional feature in Scandinavia. Much has happened since the formative years, yet these basic systemic challenges, they still linger. And the Nordics are attractive countries for immigration with high welfare levels and strong economies. Immigration represents in many ways an opportunity for the economies to increase the labor force, add skills that are in short supply domestically, and also improve flexibility. And the EU labor immigration has served this purpose well. But low-skilled migration is bringing special challenges to the Nordic labor and welfare model. Many of the strains are related to the mismatch between nationally established institutions and organizational traditions and the new internationalized forces, European or global. The Nordic model is dependent on high participation in working life and a relatively equal income distribution if a generous and universal welfare state is to be maintained. And on the other hand, a compressed wage structure creates high thresholds for admittance to working life, and wide-ranging welfare programs may undermine the incentives to take paid employment. So this is the basic squeeze. Sweden was the pioneer in the region and established a regime that was followed by the two neighboring countries for at least a couple of decades until reform processes took off in all three countries, leading to, after a while, quite different approaches on some accounts. I'm describing and analyzing how and why the three states have parted in some policy areas, whereas others are still quite similar, emphasizing both institutional and ideological dimensions. What is most striking over the last decades is the internal polarization between Denmark and Sweden within Scandinavia. Sweden as a liberal outlier, not only in Scandinavia, but in Europe as such. Denmark with its steadily more restrictive policies on most areas connected to immigration. And Norway is always placed sort of in the middle. Much of the difference in policy in Scandinavia after the initial phase is most likely explained by constellations in party politics. The parties to the right have been differently composed and have had diverse positions on immigration. The Danish Progress Party, Fremskrittspartiet, to the right of the conservatives, played a role as early as the 1970s. With their immigration critical line. Their successor, the Danish People's Party, was very important, particularly after the 2001 election, as a supporter for the center-right coalition government in Denmark. It has strongly influenced the restrictive reform policy that the coalition government introduced at that point. And besides, the Danish Social Democrats have been split on the issue until recently, contributing to a stronger politicization at an earlier stage as compared to Sweden and Norway. In Norway, the Progress Party was established in the 1970s, yet it did not become a profiled anti-immigration party until the late 1980s. This party has been extremely important in premising the public discourse since the late 80s, as none of the other parties have considered immigration a winning thing. The Progress Party has, because of increased following, been able to pressure the major parties towards a more restrictive line. Sweden has also faced a notable opposition to immigration in parts of the population, yet there was for long no significant party capitalizing on anti-immigration sentiments represented in parliament. This changed, however, in as late as the 2010 election, when the Sweden Democrats gained 5.7% of the votes. And after this election, this party has had a remarkable growth, so far culminating in the 2018 election, in which it gained more than 17%. But the 2015 refugee crisis contributed significantly to their success. Immigrants, particularly the ones from the global south, have brought in a new and sometimes extremely low-skilled element in the Scandinavian middle-class societies. The reintroduction of enduring low-income groups, marginalized both economically, residentially, and socially, has been a systemic challenge in all three countries. Politically, maybe so far more than economically, this has triggered an increased concern over the sustainability of the welfare model in all three countries, yet, at least until recently, markedly more so in Denmark and Norway than in Sweden. This political discrepancy reveals a variable gap between realpolitik and ideology. Even though the systemic impact of immigration is quite similar in the three economies, the way it has been handled has been increasingly different. This is so particularly in public discourse, but also in actual policymaking. And the cultural dimension, that means the value conflicts introduced through particularly religiously related diversity, has been the most touchy and contentious element in policy making in all three contexts. The success now of the populist right in all three countries can partly be explained by their ownership to identity-based opposition, which has manifested itself in anti-immigration mobilization. Since the 1990s, we have witnessed the emergence of three national policy regimes, still with some basic common features, yet with increasingly distinct approaches to central parameters. And 2015 represented a watershed in Scandinavia, as in many other European contexts. So lastly, despite its reinstalled border control, Sweden is still the great magnet in the region. And despite the electoral success of the Sweden Democrats, the other parties have managed to keep them at the margins of influence in parliament. The immediate retrenchments in Norway after 2015 have to some extent been moderated, and due to the strongly reduced inflow after 2015, public pressure has largely waned. Denmark, on the other hand, has emerged as an entrenched hardliner, now taking off in qualitatively new directions with its dualized welfare state and diluted integration endeavors. Denmark is now actually breaking away from this welfare stately baseline policy that I referred to in the beginning of my talk. But how this will look when it comes to the practice and the implementation of this new hardliner policy is really too early to conclude. Thank you.